Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you this morning. So if you brought your Bible, turn to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. Ann said, what are you going to preach on this morning? I said, Jonah's Ark. She said, what? I said, Jonah's Ark. Don't believe I've heard that. I said, sit still. Sit still. Going to preach on Jonah's Ark. After we pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you. Now we can come to you in the name of Jesus and stand before the throne of grace. What a privilege that is. For you chose to bear our sins on Calvary's cross and chose to have the veil rent that once separated the people from you. And only the priest could go, but now each of us who know you are priest. And Lord Jesus, we can bow our heads anywhere, anytime, and be in your presence. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to know. And I ask that you be with us this morning. Thank you for sending the group our way to sing and keep them safe in their travels. Help them as they minister with the word and song, as they travel around the country and their hearts are prepared to hear the preachers preach, that someone may come to know you. As always, remove me from this place that you be heard. That anything that I say that should be forgotten, please make it be. And all that should be remembered, please have it be. That you may be glorified, the church may be edified, and the man nearest hell be saved. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Most familiar story, the story of Jonah. Most people who attended the Sunshine class and didn't get any further think it's a story about a fish. Probably the least important part of the story. Book of Jonah. Jonah was a prophet of God, and we're going to talk about him, and I'm not teasing. We're going to talk about Jonah's Ark, and we'll get to it in just a minute. We won't read the whole thing, but expound it as we go. And the Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, and he said, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Hear Jehovah, the only God, the Lord God, spoke to the prophet and told him what he wanted him to do. He did this because the wickedness of Nineveh was known all over the world at that time. These were the most wicked people who ever lived. They were notorious for what they did to each other, and if you fell in their hands as an enemy, it would be better that you had killed yourself or fallen on the battlefield than to fall into the hands of the folks of Nineveh. For they would take a knife and cut ribbons in your back as you lived, and then they would strip you of all your skin until you died. Then they'd cut your head off and put it on a stake and put it on the wall of the city. You didn't have to say, don't come to Nineveh for vacation. Everybody understood. If you weren't from Nineveh, stay away from Nineveh. And the prophet of God, who was to preach the word of God and was to love everyone and to get the story out, had been told by God himself to go to Nineveh. You have to understand why Jonah ran, not just that he ran. You got to understand that they hated the Ninevites so bad, and Jonah hated the wickedness of these people so bad and had a hatred in their heart for those people so much that he was willing to tell God, no, I'm not going. And we got some Jonahs here this morning. Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Please understand, Tarshish was the other end of the country. It was about 2,000 miles away. He had to go by ship, and Jews, of which Hebrews, of which Jonah was, they hated the water. They weren't seafaring people. And he was willing to go and get on this ship and head for Tarshish, the opposite direction where God told him to go. He found a ship, it says, in the port, and after paying the fare, and it doesn't say here, but I'll insert it, after paying the fare, he went aboard. You see, this tells you that Jonah wasn't a poor man. He had a little money. It cost a lot of money to take that cruise. To go 2,000 miles on any ship at any time, according to the economy, is a pricey thing. And rather than do the things of God, he told God, you go your way, I'll go mine. I don't really need to go to Nineveh. I'm not going. I'm going to buy me a ticket. I got a little money. I'll look out for myself. And headed out the opposite direction, the scripture says, to flee from the Lord. And a lot of Jonahs, me included, and you, a lot of you, have been told of God to do one thing. You knew what he wanted you to do and would have you do. And you said, wait a minute, I'm doing all right where I am. I've got the fare to go in the other direction. I've got the money. I'm okay forgetting where it came from. And I will go about and do my own thing. And that started back in the when? The 70s. Do your own thing. You do what you want. And I'll do what I want. As long as we don't clash, everything will be all right. No, that is a message from Satan. Easily shown that if my own thing is stealing small children, if you have a small child, I assume that you wouldn't agree with what I like to do. You can't do your own thing. You can't have total freedom. Total freedom will lead to anarchy. You have to have freedom surrounded by good sense and good laws and the guidance of an almighty God. And here, he's a prophet. He should know better. But isn't it us who know better who seem to get into foulest trouble? I don't know how we do that. Except that we still have an Adamic nature that won't be gone until we're gone. And we have to stand sometimes in the face of an almighty God. And he wrote you a letter or two and told you how to act and what to do. And you read it and know what it is and can quote it to me. And still you turn around and head in the other direction. Jonah. So Jonah got on the boat. Went down, got on the boat, was all proud and all, and then the Lord sent a great wind, it says, on the sea. Not just a little breeze. Such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. About to break in half. All the sailors were afraid. This wasn't a shag cruise. These people had been on ship folk. Pug told me last night, and I meant to say Chuck Bennett had a heart attack on that cruise. Pray for him. He's in intensive care in Tampa. And Pug told me, I said, where's everybody? He said, they gone on the cruise. I said, oh, he said, now one man had a heart attack and one got engaged. Remind me not to go on cruises. And I said, all right. I won't go with you. So all the sailors, these are hardened sailors. These are seafaring people, probably the Phoenicians. And they were scared of this storm. Now, they've seen rough weather. They've seen rough storm, but they're scared of this one. And each cried out to his own God. You see, it's much like today. Everybody has their own God. Saddam has his own God and says his faith is going to protect him. What he's going to find out that his God won't do. You see, very few people will tell you because they're scared of a Muslim running in the door with a sword and the press getting on them and people not being politically correct. And they won't tell you what this is all about is who's got the right God. Please understand that. Is the Christian God the only God, Jehovah God, the Creator God, the Sovereign God, or is Allah? And they're going to find out about 10 days from now that Allah can't help you. I got a real cheap 2 weeks in Baghdad. I'll let go after the service if you want to purchase that on time, Sharon. These people were scared to death, so they're crying out to their idols. Some of them had idols in their pocket. Some of them just had things around their neck or represented their God. And that would do until the ship was about to go. You see, any God will do until it's time to go. And when it's time to go, you better have the right God. Because the idol can't help you. And the false God can't help you. And Jonah was in a tight. He had talked to these people, but now he had gone below to go to sleep. He was trying to hide. Tried to hide from God when he got on the ship. Now he's trying to hide from the people on the ship. You see, when you go in the direction God tells you not to go, your conscience will grab hold of you and tell you, well, keep hiding from God. And then you become fearful, useless, and you're just in the midst of the crowd of the masses. You can't serve God because you've denied Him by going the wrong way. You can't serve man because they don't serve your God and don't care. And all you can do is go to sleep. Either take a nap or get so drunk that you pass out, or get on drugs where you pass out. And please understand, all of that is nothing more than suicide. It's another form of suicide. Please understand that. Okay. And he should have known from Psalms, surely somebody should have told the prophet, Psalm 139, at verse 7 says plainly, where can I go from your spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, and that depths there is referring to Sheol, hell, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, you're there. If I settle on the far side of the sea, you are there. Even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. The best news, other than Jesus saves, is Jesus holds fast and keeps. For even when you turn your back and start in the other direction, He holds fast. He's holding fast now to Jonah, although he's turned his back and head in the other direction, God's holding him tight. Jonah went to sleep, and the captain went to sleep down to see him and said, look, how in the world can you sleep with all this going on? Get up and call on your God. Maybe He'll take notice of us and we won't perish. I mean, any port in storm, the captain said, everybody here's got a God. I'll just roll the dice. Everybody call on your God, hoping we'll hit the right one and He'll get us out of this mess. But what a shame that a pagan sailor had to come down and wake up the man of God and call him to prayer. Is that not the first thing when you do when God urges you in one direction and you go in another? The first thing you do is quit talking to Him. Don't want to face Him. Don't want to pray. If I pray, I got to confess. If I confess, I got to cry. If I cry, I got to repent. And if I repent, I've got to admit I'm wrong. Better to admit you're wrong with God than to try to be right without Him. The sailors said to each other, come, let's cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity. They'd put stones, different colored stones, in a little jug and shake it up, and you got one, you got one, you got. Let's see who did it. And whoever got the proper colored stone that they were saying was the choice, that's who it would be. And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. You see, God, He's in control of everything. It's not just the wind and the storm that He sent. It's not just the mind of Noah and the soul of him that He controlled. He controlled the rocks in the jug. And had the right one come out at the right time. Make no mistake about it. The Lord God Almighty knows wherever electron is that He ever created. He is sovereign and nothing misses His gaze. The idea that you can flee and run and hide and get in the dark and do something without God seeing you is the most foolish thought you ever had. That's the thought of a five-year-old. Pulls a sheet over his covers when he's done something wrong and hears mama coming. You can't do that with God. So they asked him. They said, look, tell us, who's responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do anyway? Where do you come from? What's your country and from what people are you? And here goes Porky Pig Jonah. Well, you see, I'm a Hebrew, and you know about us, I guess. You know, got the temple and everything. And I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Now a prophet remembers who he is. Starts preaching. And the sailors wanted to know who he was and what he did. And he remembered who he was and what he did. And said, the Lord God I serve, who is sovereign. The sea you sail upon he made. The wind that blows he made and caused this storm. The land that we will land on is his. Nothing escapes him. Preached a good sermon, the power of the Creator. Well, how do you know that? Because I read the next verse. This terrified them, and they asked, well, what in the world have you done? Why in the world would you leave a God like that? I can hear the questions, can you not? You mean your God created this sea, and you didn't do what he said when he asked you to? Son, what kind of fool are you? Here's a pagan chastising a man of God for not following God. Boy, I'm telling you, that's when it gets you. That's when it gets you. When people know you're a Christian, they know you're a preacher, and then they see you and come up and say, aren't you the preacher down there? Yeah. Aren't you the one that invited me to church? Well, we know what you kind of did. You ran away from God, which you did. But he'll hold fast. Well, I've read the back of this book, too. They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. I mean, the boat was about to break in half a while ago, wasn't it? So they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Your God owns the sea. Your God made it. Your God's in control of the wind. Your God, you claim, can do anything. So what now do we have to do to make the sea calm down for us? And Jonah said, pick me up and throw me into the sea. And it'll become calm. See, he had reached the point where he was going to give up. He forgot the sermon he just preached a minute ago. Say, God will take you back. He forgot the story of the prodigal son. He forgot what God did before to people he had preached to who had fallen and returned. That he stands with open arms and said, look, I not only knew where you went and what you did, I knew you were going to do it before you did it. And still, I said, come unto me, ye who are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Don't have to fight the storm. Don't have to worry about the depths of the sea. Don't have to worry about the hurricane upon them. All you have to do is rest. Come back to me and rest. If you're in a storm today, you know the Savior. Randy sang that song because he knows it's one of my favorites, he sings. Keep me safe. Till the storm passes by. So you don't get the calls I get. You're not supposed to. Been to the doctor that got cancer. I hear you. Got a sister's got 3 months to live. I hear you. Pray for us. Frankie's got to go have the third operation. I will. Preacher, I hate to call you so late at night, but I got a .38 in my left hand and I got a Glock in my right and I've got them pointed at my head, and if you don't talk me through this, I'm going to kill myself. That's a friendly little call to get about midnight. But you see, I know he'll give you rest. I know that no storm can come that he can't rescue you from. I know that it can get so bad that you want to take your own life, but don't do that. Give your own life, and you'll find the storm will pass. The men instead did their best to row back to land. They didn't want to throw him over because now they had heard about the great God. And they said, well, if your God is like you say it, if we throw you in, we have murdered you. And if we murder you, then he's going to turn against us. And they were in a dilemma. So they did their best and tried to row back to land but could not. For the sea grew even wilder than before. Can you see it now? No hope. Then they cried to the Lord. They got converted. They didn't cry to the idol. They didn't cry to the God they did have. They cried to the Lord, L-O-R-D. The sovereign God of the universe, the Creator, the Almighty. Oh Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. You see, they said, we heard what you said, and we'll do it. If your prophet hadn't got sense enough to follow what you said, he's got a problem. We believe you said what you meant and meant what you said. Boy, they finished Bible college early. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging of the sea grew calm. Glass. A little squirrel you see on TV could have water skied by. And then at this, the men greatly feared the Lord. Why? Sailors, they knew a storm when they saw it. They know a ship when it's about to break. They knew they were about to die. And all of a sudden, Jonah hits the water and no more waves. Shoop. That'll get your attention. So what did they do? They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows unto him. Here comes Jonah's ark. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. You see, an ark is a place of safety, a place of refuge. When we say ark and refer to it scripturally, 9 out of 10 people assume you're talking about the Noah's ark, which was, is, and has been spotted, broken in 2 pieces. The Lord may let them find it and dig it up. The Turks won't. But the Lord may break and let us find that, but he doesn't want an object of worship either. So Noah's ark was a place of safety for Noah and the family. Man had grown so wicked, God said, I'm just going to destroy them all. But I'll leave Noah. He's a righteous man in his family. And we will save some of the animals here and put them on. And Noah, come here, son. I want you to build a boat. So what? Said, I'm 300 yards near before you get to water, Lord. He said, just build an ark. I've never built an ark. So I'll give you the plans. And he did. He said, surely you don't believe that. Surely I do. Surely every ship company today makes their ships based on the ark. 6-to-1 ratio. They found out that was the best way to build them and they wouldn't break up in the big storms. You got to be kidding. I'm not kidding. The Lord knows what he's doing. So Noah had an ark and got on it and it saved him. Little Moses had an ark. Remember Moses, little baby? They were killing all the Jewish babies. They said, no, we're not going to lose him. God said, save this one. So they put him in a little ark, a little basket, and they sealed it. He sealed Noah's ark. And he sealed Moses' ark. You see, when you're in the ark, it's sealed and you can't get out. It's a place of refuge and a place of safety and a place of protection. And you're all right in there, although you may be the only one in there. You're okay in the ark. As long as God is in there with you and controlling what happens to the ark. You put a baby basket in the Nile River with a child in it, you stand a great chance of a crocodile saying, lunch, 10,000 pounds of pressure a square inch. Boom! And God said, put him in the basket. I'll tell the crocodile where to go. Seal it up with pitch, that's tar. Same way he made the ark. Did he not tell the ark of Noah, seal it up with pitch where it won't leak. Make it out of these reeds. Same thing Moses' ark was made out of. Isn't God good? Abraham came along and said, where's my ark? You got me walking in the desert. And he said, okay, we'll give you an ark of the covenant. Same story, little box, sealed up. What's inside is God's, and nobody can get in it, and nobody can get out of it. Same story, second verse. Abraham's ark. So now Jonah has an ark, fish. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. You see, God will get your attention. You run from him and think you're going to hide from him. Well, I'll go to California. It's wide open spaces. No, no, he'll corner you up out there too. And Jonah said, I'm going to go 2,000 miles across the sea. I'm going to flee for the Lord. He cannot find me. Son, he knew where you were going before you went. And now he's found out that God's really in charge, because now he finds himself in the belly of a big fish. No light, no window, no way to get out, helpless, almost hopeless, and then he remembers who he is. And he said, if I can pray to God in the daylight on the top of the ship, and I can pray on the pier there getting ready to buy my ticket while I'm running, then I can pray for him in the distress I'm in. And have you read that prayer? Listen to the prayer. In my distress, I called the Lord and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help and you listened to my cry. You hurled me deep into the deep, into the very heart of the seas. And the currents swirled about me. By the way, this was written about 2,000 years before they knew there were currents throughout the sea. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, and the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I'll make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord said, that's a pretty good prayer. You back with me, boy? I said, yeah. I'm back with me. You ready to listen? He said, yeah. He said, do you know where you are? No. He said, all right, brace up. I'm going to make Bubba burp here. And the Lord told the fish, I've brought you back to the beach. Go near, throw up, and get rid of that which is inside of you. And the fish did. So here sits the prophet of God. Seaweed around his neck. Fish puke all over him. Little visit to the beach. Vowed two vows. Bible reports one of them, that he would never flee from God again. The second one, I'll have to ask him when I see him, but I know he said it, and I shall never eat another tuna fish salad. The old boy got the message. Now somebody saw that happen and reported to the people of Nineveh, and then he went in and began preaching like the Lord told him to do in the first place. I love God's sense of humor. Verse 3, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Jonah, yeah, go to the city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I gave you. All right, I'm going. No more fish. All right, please, I'm going. And went. And the hard-headed rascal preached, but still hated the Ninevites. If you read on, you'll find out that he went and preached, and the people who saw him preach had spread the word. You ain't going to believe what I saw in front of the pavilion. Fish came up, big rascal, threw up, and that guy was in it. Weren't you? Weren't you in the fish? Yeah. Who are you? Well, my name's Jonah. Where you from? I'm a Hebrew. Why are you here? You ain't going to believe it, but the Lord said and told the story. And what happened? The entire city got saved. 600,000 population. The king, it said, heard about it and said, that's where the term say what came from. Say what? A fish threw this dude up. He'd been preaching on Main Street. He's preaching in a bar. He'll preach anywhere. And the king said, I need no more of my death. Came down, heard it, went out and put on the rough clothes and sat in sackcloth and ashes, which was a supreme sign of humility. The king, I say, commanded a fast of all the people and the animals. The whole country got saved. It's the greatest revival we know of in history. From a man who left and came back to God. Now this morning, some of you have left. Need to come back. Let him use you. This morning, some of you are like the sailors. You have some sort of a God, either one you got out of a book somewhere or somebody told you about or you made up in your head. That's still an idol. You need to come for the first time and say, wait a minute, you mean all that really happened? Yeah. That isn't just a fish tale? No. And you mentioned some other people. You mean Abraham left? Yes. You mean Moses? Yes. You mean Jonah? Yes. Well, look, I'm neither Hebrew nor an Old Testament man. Where's my ark? Where do I go for safety? The doctor said I was going to die. The doctor said my wife's going to die. I have a child with leukemia. Where's my ark? Where's my refuge? Where is my safety? And he said, wait a minute, we're not through writing. The Lord is my refuge. A very present help in time of trouble. Don't need a fish. Don't need an ark. Need to get in one. And my ark's name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And once I got in him, there's nothing you can do to me but send me home. Take your pen and pencil and mark the times the Apostle Paul, the Paul, the Gentiles prophet. Mark the times he says, in Christ. In Christ. It's his whole message. Get in Christ. Be in Christ. Stay in Christ. Well, how do I do that? Very simple, by faith. As we pray this morning, you, if you don't know and don't have a place of safety and have no ark, have no refuge, nowhere to go. The world's beating you to death. Say, I need a Savior, I need a refuge, I need a place where I can hide. Then you come to Jesus this morning. We don't ask you to come to the front. For those who do it that way, that's fine. we just say where you are. God knows where you are. He knew where Jonah was. If you need a Savior and don't have one this morning, and say, Lord Jesus, would you take me back? Would you take me in for the first time? Would you put me in the ark and you seal the door and make sure no one can take me from your hand? Would you do that for me this morning? I promise he will. He's as good as his word. And boy, is his word good. If you have been a child of God and got your map messed up a little bit and you headed the wrong way and you're fleeing from him this morning, don't wait on a fish to bring you back. Just you do it. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry, forgive me, confessing my sin. I'm repenting, which means metanoia, which means turning and walking in another direction. I want to come home. I want to come home. You do that this morning. For the God who is sovereign and creator, as Jonah spoke of, the Lord Jesus Christ who created all of this, saw our sins before we committed them and died on the cross to forgive them, says, come home. Come unto me, ye who are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. So it's not the military we depend on, though I appreciate what they do, and it's not the politicians as they banter. I put my trust in him. And say, Lord Jesus, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving, thank you that we can hear from you. How you took a man who loved you and fled from you, and you, if you don't know and don't have a place of safety and have no ark, have no refuge, nowhere to go. The world's beating you to death. So I need a Savior. I need a refuge. I need a place where I can hide. Then you come to Jesus this morning. We don't ask you to come to the front. For those who do it that way, that's fine. We just say where you are. God knows where you are. He knew where Jonah was. If you need a Savior and don't have one this morning, and say, Lord Jesus, would you take me back? Would you take me in for the first time? Would you put me in the ark and you seal the door and make sure no one can take me from your hand? Would you do that for me this morning? I promise he will. He's as good as his word. And boy, is his word good. If you have been a child of God and got your map messed up a little bit and you headed the wrong way and you're fleeing from him this morning, don't wait on a fish to bring you back.